Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in church. Oh, never mind. You might want to tell us to come back. Yeah. Special welcome to Larry and Pat. Is it Phil Brandt? Phil Brandt. Why don't we give them a special welcome? Amen. Thank you for coming. We're happy to see you here today. And they are friends. You're not relatives. You're friends of Larry and Sue. Who cooked our spaghetti sauce? You all remember that spaghetti sauce a few weeks ago? It was good spaghetti sauce. They're friends of them, so we're so happy to have you. Is there a noise? Okay, they're okay. Still deal with that. So Larry and Pat, I'm glad you're here and welcome. I pray you feel welcomed and maybe next fall when they come back from winter they'll join. Larry and Sue and join us, and that'll be awesome. Sounds better. Good. We're good. Praise the Lord. Well, we are having an outreach next week. At least that's the plan. Waiting for the details, but I may. If you are interested in just like what is all this about, we're basically going to do a few things. We'll be at the food bank, giving out food to the community on Saturday morning like we normally do once a month. And then in the evening, we're going to have a group that helps us do food distribution at the Colonia, and we're going to do vacation Bible school or a kids ministry and have games and do stuff like that. So those of you that are interested in participating, and you know, I want to be there or help, or usually we need to get some maybe nachos or hot dogs to feed the kids out there. So we'll be doing different things like that. So if I don't have any volunteers, I may text some of you, say, can you help me with this or that? And then you let me know. But I believe a foundation is being laid in our church to figure out how to impact the community. And I believe it's a foundation that is are in our DNA. You know what? You know, like spiritual DNA, a church DNA. Like somehow, for whatever reason, God has put us, this little church, as they say, right, in a position to impact people. And it's awesome. It really is how God has put that together. And so we'll be doing some kids ministry out there, some games and things like that. And for no other reason, if you just want to show up and just watch it and not work, I'm cool. I'm cool with that too. But it's just good to be part of that. And I believe what's going to happen over time is God's going to give people passion and vision and ministry, and God, it will be clear what God wants you to do in this movement. Because I really believe it's going to grow to a point. Even this summer, we have 4 different groups coming down to help us, and we're like, overwhelm. How's this going to work? But God's going to work it out. But laborers are needed. Amen. So if you're one of those that come to church and wonder if God has more for you than just coming to church, this is a church where that opportunity is going to be there. It just takes effort. Amen. And sacrifice. Yes. All those bad words we don't like to hear. Sacrifice, effort. But isn't that what Jesus said? Consider the cost and be in the ministry and do the work. And so so we're excited about all that. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you all had a great Easter. I'm looking forward to Christmas now. It's just Easter Christmas. I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of year. Praise the Lord. Do we have any new, anybody else that's here for the first time? Just so I don't miss anybody. Can you introduce Dora or Victor? Is that Victor? Yes, that's Victor. Oh, hi, Victor. Oh, Brenda. Alanis. All right. Make sure we have her fill out a form, please, Pete, wherever, or somebody, so I can send her a welcome. But Brenda Alanis, welcome. Welcome, Brenda. Let's give her a welcome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to have you here. Well, we are going to turn to our in our Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. So the title of this sermon is The Winning Formula. So did you get my text? Those of you that didn't get my text, you're not on my phone. Because I went down, or at least you're not in my most recent phone. Text me and tell me I didn't get that. So then I'll put you on the list. But I sent out the text just kind of like The Winning Formula. That's what the title of the sermon is. The Winning Formula. What is that? You know, I watch a lot of Shark Tank. You know, I'm just a business major at heart. You know, I went to school, got my business degree, got my master's in business administration, and thought I was going to, you know, be in business, right? But God had different ideas, so I'm in both now, right? Business and ministry. And I like to watch Shark Tank. I don't know. I just like to watch it. So you have these people come on the show, and they showcase how they have the winning formula for making money. That's what they do, right? They come on the show, and they tell investors, look, I got this product, or I have this new healthy frozen popsicle, right, for example. And it's awesome, and it tastes great. And the investors taste it. That tastes really good, and it's good for you, and it's low calorie, and they have the winning formula, right? And the investors will decide whether or not to invest money in these winning formulas. And that's how the show goes. And I was reading God's Word the other day, and I read a winning formula in here. Like, wow, this is new to me. I mean, I've known it, but I'm reading it, and I'm like, yeah, that the Word of God is truth. And when you read it, it just speaks to you in your heart. So in God's Word, we will see that there is a winning formula in Scripture. And if we really believe that God's Word reveals a winning formula, then all of us should invest everything in this truth, right? If we're convinced that this Word is the way, then we should invest everything. We're the investors, right? We're going to invest everything in these truths. And I think what the enemy has blinded us many times in our lives is that we just get by, and there's so much winning, as Trump likes to call it, right? Winning. There's so much winning and blessings in his word. And maybe not the way the world sees winning, but the way God's kingdom sees winning is all that really matters. Amen. And so the winning formula, let's go to chapter 10, verse 17. Oh, by the way, I brought my glasses, so this is going to be a first. So, Alyssa, can you take a picture so I can have this memory for the rest of my life? So that'll be nice. I took a picture when Kathleen was the first one behind this new pulpit. Hold on, let me get my glasses on first. There. And so I liked these first times, so we're going to give it a shot. Okay, how do I look? Am I looking smarter yet? All right, good. Look like a pastor now, right? Oh, I can see. Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17. We know this story, but it just spoke to me a little differently, and I want to share that with you. The winning formula. Mark 10, verse 17. And it's the story about the rich young ruler. And let me read the story. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? What should I do to get saved? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud not. Honor thy father, thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. You know, I found it very interesting that the scripture before that, before he tells him to give up his riches, it says, and Jesus loved him. He loved him. So if Jesus didn't love him, he would have said, yeah, whatever. But he loved him, and he said, if this man's going to enter eternal life, he loved him enough to tell him the truth. Amen? He loved him enough to tell him the truth. Yeah, you got religion down. You know how to do the law of Moses. And he loved him so much, he told him the truth. And he said, but you know what? You have something before God. God's not first in your life. What's first in your life is your riches. And he told him. He loved him enough to tell him the truth. And he said, you lack one thing. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. And when he heard that, he was sad. And at that saying, he was sad that Jesus said that. And he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. No way was he going to give up all of his wealth and give it away. He just couldn't do it. And Jesus looked around about, and he saith unto his disciples, did you just see this? And he's saying, hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked upon them, saying, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Anyone can get saved. All things are possible. So Jesus, the main point of the story, let me just back up. The main point of the story, I can't see, sorry about that. The main point of the story is to teach us that God must have first place in our hearts. Anything that we start putting in front of God puts us in trouble, right? In danger, and there's no winning formula there. When we begin to put things, but when in this story, Jesus is very clear. You need to be willing to put everything else behind your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? That is a cold, hard truth, as they say. And even us Christians that come to church, we can get in trouble. We can go through the motions like this young man. Oh, I'm doing the right things. I'm obeying the law of Moses. I must be okay, right? And Jesus made it very clear, you're not okay. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You need to surrender all. See what this young ruler, rich man, didn't know. Is that if he would have given all, he would have received all and more. He couldn't see that. He didn't have that faith. He would have gotten so much more. He would have gotten so much more in return. But he couldn't see that. So the point of this story is we can't have anything before God. And this story also teaches us that even though for some people who trust in the things of this world like riches and stuff, God can change them too. I love the scripture where he says, you know, Jesus is saying it's hard for rich people to come to heaven or to eternal life because they're dependent on their riches, but it's not impossible. Because he says, with man, things are impossible, but with God, nothing's impossible. Whenever a person repents and accepts the Lord as Savior, it is a miracle. Amen? We got to put God first in our lives. That's the message of this. God has to be first. And right now, the Holy Spirit is going to keep convicting us of anything in our lives that we put before God. I don't know if you noticed that as you've been living a Christian life. When you start putting God second and third and fourth, His Holy Spirit begins to just tug at you. And the Holy Spirit tugs at you. Because nothing can come before God. The winning formula based on this scripture is to admit that God must have first place in our hearts. That's the first piece of the formula. God has to be first. Not spouses, not family, not riches, not materialism, not hobbies. God must be first place in our hearts. And the second part of this winning formula, Mark chapter 10, verse 28. We're just going to continue reading where we left off. Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all, and we have followed you, Jesus." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." The main point of this scripture here is to seal a promise from God in our hearts. When we give up relationships, materialism, like land, as it says here, for the sake of his righteousness, for the sake of living right, for the sake of living according to this word, you will be rewarded in this life a hundredfold. Amen? That's good news. There's real situations like this out there. You may have a husband and wife or a girlfriend and boyfriend, and one of them gets saved and wants to start living according to God's word, and the spouse or the other boyfriend or girlfriend are like, "No, I don't think so. I'm not signing up for that." And they leave. What's the Bible say? When you lose things because you're wanting to do right, he will bless you hundredfold. Amen? Amen. That's pretty good news. But it's real. Friendships. You begin to live by this word and you try to do what's right, you're going to clash with the world and sin. And people are going to notice and they're going to say, "What, are you too good for us?" People are going to start saying, "What? You know the drill, right? Start living on this word. No, I got to be in church. No, I got to pray." No, and you start letting people see that, and your light begins to shine, you will lose friends and family. Because you'll become hot, in a sense. Too hot to handle. A light in the world of darkness. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He knows that living for him, living according to this book, comes with loss. It is not God's, plan for all families to be broken up. But Jesus says several times in scriptures, if you begin to live according to my word and you lose people because of that, then you're going to be rewarded. You're going to be rewarded. So, let's start again in verse 28. Notice that Jesus just gives the story about this rich man who wasn't willing to... it wasn't a story, I think it really happened, right? It wasn't actually a parable. And all of a sudden, Peter has to make a point, right? Peter just saw this, and Peter's like, "I'm good, right? I left everything, right? My family's still back there, I'm here with you." Right, Peter makes it very clear in verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed you, Jesus." Right. So Peter wanted to clarify, right, with Jesus. "I'm good, right, Jesus? I'm doing okay. I left a lot for this ministry." And that's where Jesus answered them and said what he said. Peter saw Jesus tell the rich man he can't enter the kingdom of God, so Peter wanted to clarify whether he had the winning formula. Peter reminds Jesus, "We have left all." And Jesus does say, for anyone who has left relationships, material possessions, land, for the sake of righteousness, biblical living, for the sake of living right, according to his word, Jesus promises that that person will receive a hundredfold in this time. Meaning here on earth. It says there in verse 29, in verse 30, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. It's talking about this time, this earth. Now, the winning formula is in this scripture. It's biblical living, doing right, living right, no matter what loss that causes. And Jesus will give you a hundredfold. But it does say in verse 30, and we have to listen to this, right? It does say in verse 30 that you will receive a hundredfold of land, of relationships, with persecutions, right? You see that? With persecutions. Begin to live according to this word, and people will start persecuting you. You'll become a light, and darkness will start poking at you. And it does happen. It will happen. There will be a dividing of truth and darkness and light. And Jesus is well aware of this. That's why he said, with persecutions. In other words, the hundredfold comes of blessings. It doesn't come all through without storms. Or without trials, or without tribulation, right? Or without persecution. It does. It's clear. So there are people who have turned to God and decided to live by His Word, decided to set things right in relationships, in marriages, in all of these things. There's a promise from God. There's a winning formula. And I gave you an example of, maybe there's a relationship. One decides to live on this word and the other one doesn't like it. They may lose them, but don't fear. It may hurt for a season. But two things will happen. Either that person, if they really love you, will find God, right? Or it wasn't meant to be, and God will replace that with something that's hundredfold, right? That's better. That's a winning formula. You want to do it God's way. But God's timing on these rewards is not our timing. It's God's timing. And that's where patience and faith and comes in. But you can always quote these scriptures back in your prayer time. Have you ever been upset at God for waiting too long to answer a prayer? Yeah. Okay, good. I'm not the only one. But these scriptures in your prayer time, you can say, Lord, I'm doing my best to live according to your word. And I've been praying for this. And you said you would bless us a hundredfold, or that we would pray and you would move. So you can quote scripture back to God. Did you know that? Not that he needs reminding, but you know what that is? I love this. I mean, this is like something that you don't quote scripture back to God because he needs reminded of his word. When you quote scripture back to God, it is you showing faith. You get that? And it is faith that pleases God. You see? That's pretty deep. I'm going to give you that free of charge, right? Free of charge. Should write it in the book. But quoting scriptures back to God, like, Lord, but see, you got to be honest, right? Lord, I've been living by your word. I have to make some sacrifices, and I want to do things right, and I've surrendered this, and I'm giving you this, and I'm going to do things right according to your word. And then you can say to him, Lord, you promised us that if we pray that you would hear us, and that if we ask, we would receive, as long as we're not asking amiss, right, for selfish reasons. And you can quote a scripture that he's going to bless you because you've lost a friend, or you've lost this because you're trying to do it right. And you can quote this back to him, and he doesn't need to be reminded, but he loves to see your faith. That shows that you have faith in his word, and you know his word is truth. You're just reminding God to hurry it up a little bit, right? Yeah, you're giving him the desires of your heart. So that is a winning formula. So what is the winning formula? Number one, God must have first place in your heart. And number two, You got to be willing to surrender all for the sake of living right. Amen. Righteous living. Right? Surrender all. Surrender all. Right? God doesn't want us going around and losing our friends and family and loved ones for the sake of it. But so you are to love your family no matter what. You're to love. But until it gets to that point where you're being told, if you don't stop living by this word, I'm not going to be your friend, or I'm not going to be in this relationship. That's where you say, he's first. I pick his word. And when you do that, when you're in that position, be confident based on this scripture that God will bless you 100-fold. He will. So there's your formula. Put God first and surrender all for living right and doing right. Be willing to surrender all. These two things, and you have a winning formula. The result will be abundant blessing, 100-fold, even through persecution. So everything's not going to go perfect. There'll be ups, there'll be downs. But you're going to be steady. You're going to be steady. It's time for Christians to act on the winning formula, right? We don't want to live our Christian life just getting by, half in and half out. You want to live your Christian life surrendered all, him first in your life. There's really no other way to live it, to be a winner, so to speak, to live in victory. In my life, I've been through periods in my life when I've been lukewarm, and those were the most miserable times of my life. I don't know. And every time I start going back that way a little bit, it just the Holy Spirit comes back and it just, it's awful there. It's powerless. But the Holy Spirit will keep convicting us. And we have to be obedient. And we have to listen to Him. And He wants to bring us back to that place, that secret place with Him. So we don't want to just get by. We want victory. We want the winning formula. And that's to put God first in your life. And that is to surrender all for righteousness' sake. It is time to put God first. And when we begin to put God's word into practice, you begin to put this word into practice, you will have a story to tell. Amen? Amen. You'll have a story to tell how God made a way where there seemed to be no way. You'll have a story to tell how God intervened on your behalf for that job or that promotion. You'll have a story to tell how God made a dying relationship live again. And you'll have a story to tell how God replaced one friend with many others, or how God healed a friendship. You'll have many, many stories to tell because it's in His Word that you'll be blessed 100-fold. The winning formula works. We just have to put it into practice. Amen. Jesus first. Surrendered all. Holding nothing. Living right and doing right according to His word. It works. Amen. Die to pride. Die to your own agendas. Die to your carnal, sinful mind. It's time to give some stuff or sacrifice things that don't line up with this word, so that you may receive your 100-fold blessing. Right? It's exciting because it's right there. And it's not like it works for you and it doesn't work for you. Any of you in this room, leave this place today and say, okay, all the things in my life that don't line up with this word, I'm going to start lining them up by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have that attitude and that mindset. What's going to happen is you're going to start causing a stir. You are. Because you're going to stand up for truth, right, when you see it. And you're going to live according to this word. And somebody's going to ask you to do something. And you'll be like, no, I'd rather not. Why not? Well, I just, Here's important. When you're telling people you're doing things for God, you need to be able to do the best of your ability not to make it sound like because you want to do it this way, they're bad. Amen? We Christians have a way sometimes to kind of like, well, I'm not doing it because, you know, I'm following the Bible and you're not. That's not the attitude, right, that we want. Basically, what we want is this is about you and God. So when people ask you why you don't do certain things, it's not because I'm better than you. You answer by saying the reason I don't do certain things is because my relationship with God is this. And I, for me and my relationship with God, I don't want to do that, participate in that. And so you got to do it with love, right? Not with judgment. And that's wisdom. It takes wisdom. But you're going to cause a stir. You get outside these walls and start just setting your life right. And you want to read all the sins there. They're there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Right? Don't get drunk. Right? Don't have sex outside of marriage. Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. Don't be a stumbling block to somebody else. Right? It's all in here, right? You begin to live according to this word, you're going to cause a stir, but you're going to set yourself up for a hundredfold blessing. Amen? That's the winning formula. Invest in that. Invest in it all because it's there. It's exciting. If you can understand, see, sometimes the enemy will blind us where we can't comprehend this concept. The formula is this. Jesus first, surrender all at all costs for living right and doing right. And abundant blessings, hundredfold, are yours. In His timing, with persecutions, that's clear. It's there. It's for you. But sometimes the enemy will blind us that we don't see it and we just decide to just keep just getting by. Just walking through, just making it. Surrender all. Surrender all. That's the winning formula. So are you ready to receive a hundredfold blessings? Just live by this word. Live by this word. Absorb this word. That's why we teach, read your Bible and pray every day without fail. Because that is the winning formula. See, when you do that, you're putting God first in your life. And you're showing obedience. And you're showing that you take this seriously and you're intentional about God being first in your life. Read His word. Read the New Testament. Read, you know, where it tells you about putting on the whole armor of God, about what's wrong, what's right, about it's just there. And you have questions, you always can ask and text me. And, you know, I've had people text me, what does this scripture mean? And that's pretty fun. We don't know everything, but together we can live by this word to the best of our ability and just expect the blessings. Expect the blessings. So let's close like this today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for teaching us this morning that in your word there is a winning formula. There is something for us to totally invest in. And that's the truth of your word. And your word tells us that you are a jealous God and that you must be first. And you also tell us that when we lose things for the sake of your righteousness, that you replace it a hundredfold. And that is the winning formula for us to live right and to do right. And others will surely follow. Others may leave, but others will follow. So, Lord, seal that in our hearts. Seal it in our hearts to leave this place with a new motivation, with a new passion, and with a confidence to put you first, to live for you, to do right, to live right. And as we come back every week and we worship and we pray and we seek more of you through your word, the best is yet to come. The outreaches, the ministries, the church, you are putting something in place that's bigger than any one of us. And in your perfect timing, the land will be taken and victory will be won and people will be set free and souls will be saved in abundance. But that will not come without some persecution and some trial and some praying through. But Lord, we're willing. We're willing because we know the blessings are abundant for those who fight the good fight, who put you first. So seal that in our hearts today, Lord. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. We stand on those promises. These are truths. And today we leave this place with a joy and a peace and a confidence that as long as we do what's in this book and ask the Holy Spirit to empower us to be obedient to this word, then the blessings will be too numerous to count. We are your people. And if Satan is a liar, and he's been revealed and rebuked, our destiny, our winning formula is clear and simple. We'll put you first, Lord. And we'll live right and do right, no matter what loss that may bring. And we'll just enjoy the spoils of this fight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.